We sure appreciate the Lord today, and we entreat the Spirit of the Lord to feed our souls again this afternoon, that this won't be a meeting that was hardly worth being at, but we believe that the Lord has some good things if He will help us today to uncover those. I want to start in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse. We're quite familiar with this, most all of us are. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know we're in a warfare today. And we need to recognize we are in a war. You know, when the devil comes along lopping grenades over into our little area, we shouldn't be surprised because we're in a war. And he has declared all-out war. And so we have a goal that we are wanting to attain. We have something that we are wanting to find at the end of this life, and we're going to have to fight for it sometimes. Yes. I just want to share a few things about some of these weapons that we're not going to try to be exhaustive on this, but there's a few things that I feel like the Lord gave me that I think may help our walk be a little more effective in the Lord. It says the weapons of our warfare. Have you ever just stopped to think, what are the weapons that I've got? Do you know we're not at the devil's mercy today? We're not at the devil's mercy. God has given us mighty weapons to use against the enemy when he comes in like a flood. And so I want to look at some of those things. And there's 4 areas in particular that I've been thinking about and meditating on. In James 5 and 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed."
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, yes, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, this afternoon, I want us to think a little bit about this effectual and fervent prayer. Yes. I don't know sometimes if we recognize the power that is available to us in the Lord through prayer and through faith and some of those areas. It goes on to say Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, it's using this as an illustration of what prayer can do. There was the old wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And they had taken out almost, they took out all the Lord's prophets, so they thought. And they were worshiping Baal. And we find that situation, and there was Elijah. And what's he going to do? He told the Lord one time, he said, "Lord, they've killed all your prophets, and there's here I am left alone." And, you know, here Elijah saw this tremendous battle before him. He saw, but, you know, he started praying. And it says that he prayed earnestly, "Lord, come on the scene here and bring this king to his knees." And do you know that it says he prayed earnestly and it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years because he prayed? Yes. Do you know who would have ever thought of that kind of a weapon? Who would have ever thought of a king like that being brought to his knees? And it's just a man praying. This was the power of the weapon that he had. And I just want us to think today, and I pray God that He will bring it home to our hearts this afternoon that these are weapons that we can use in our battles every day. I want to remind us today that the battle that we are in, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's pretty tremendous. But I want to remind us, we have weapons, folks. Let's learn to use those weapons. Let's learn to use the weapon of prayer. Elijah saw a hopeless situation and he went to prayer. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years because he said, it's not going to rain until I say so. You know, that's what he told the king, isn't it? And he walked away. And for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And that king came to his knee. He came to some senses there. I know he didn't really humble himself. And it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I was thinking about the scripture, and we're just going to kind of quote this. This is in Matthew 6:6, if you want to turn there. But it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I'm just going to touch on a few different things here this afternoon. Not maybe a long message even. But I just want to open our minds to think about the powerful and blessed ability we have in the Lord to fight against the enemy. You know, the scriptures tell us Satan, that old serpent, the devil, the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
You know it tells us the accuser is cast down?
Yes.
You know, we meet regularly people that is just being accused. They're just being accused by the enemy. Do we think that that's odd? Do we think, well, we should never be accused? Hey, we're in a war. What do we think the devil's going to do? Is he going to pat us on the back? No, he can't stop us. He can't make us give up. He doesn't. We have it in our whole heart to go forward, don't we? So you know what else he does? He starts throwing mud balls at us. He starts telling us, you know, you're not effective in what you do. He'll tell us, you sinned right there. And have y'all ever had an accusation like that? I want to tell you something. The devil is an accuser. And I want to encourage us this afternoon that these things, there are powerful weapons that the Lord wants us to learn to use. And I want us to think about what Jesus just said there in Matthew 6:6, where he said, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door. And then he said, when you've shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret. I believe he's talking about focus here. He's talking about us focusing more than just, Lord, help this, and Lord, help me, and Lord, and I've got to go to work. I want to encourage us today to recognize the power we have in the Lord when we pray.
Amen.
You know, that the time that we come before the Lord like that, the devil is there too. Because we're in a warfare. And he tries to distract us. And he tries to get us to thinking about other things. He might even tempt you at that time. I've found that when the Lord wants to work, Satan comes along about that time. I have found that. If the Lord wants to give you a special message, I don't know how the devil knows it, but he does. And a lot of times he comes along, doesn't he? And he'll give you a little run for your money, if you want to say it that way. And do you know, this afternoon, the Lord wants us to recognize, hey, I'm in a battle. I've got to learn how to fight effectively. I can't let the devil just come along and just run over me. I can't be dismayed because I had a temptation or because there was something came along and he accused me, or because I had a run-in with somebody. You know, the devil just somehow tries to set those things up, doesn't he? He does. And the Lord wants us to know how to work effectively. I believe that one of the ways is for us to get in our closet and dedicate that time to the Lord. Sometimes, now I know that everybody's different, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but something that works well for me is I like to set an alarm. This is the Lord's time. Now this is His time. I'm not going to be thinking about jumping up and running off to work right now or going and taking care of something like that, because this is the Lord's time. You know, when we are able to stop and focus like that, I don't know how to explain it. Something changes, doesn't it? We're able to really pour out our heart to God. Because what we read over there in James was, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It specifically pulls that out. The effectual, fervent prayer. That avails something with the Lord. You know, I think lots of times we give the Lord a little piece of our time, and we're in a hurry and we got things calling on our mind. And what I found is that if I can set my alarm, I don't have to stop then. But it just means that this is the Lord's time. This is His time. And what I found is you can focus. You can pray earnestly and fervently. It's different many times than when we feel like, you know, I need to get up and get out of here. I've got a lot going on. There's somebody that's needing me right now, or there's a situation. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm sure we do. I think the Lord is telling us here, I want you to go in your closet and shut the door. And I want to commune with you. I want you to focus and pray and seek my face. And I believe that we would see some things come down. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I don't know how many times he prayed. I don't know how he did that. I know when he prayed for the rain to come back again, says he went up and prayed, and he expected God to do something. And so he sent a servant. He said, go look out over the sea or whatever it was there. And he went, there's nothing. And he prayed again. Wasn't it 7 times, I believe? He prayed again and again because he believed God was going to help him. And today, I really believe in our battles, folks, we focus on the battle. And the Lord doesn't, that's not what He's wanting us to do. Let's look up to the one that has all the power in heaven and in earth. Isn't there a song that says, all heaven stands at attention when the name of Jesus is mentioned?
Yes.
There is, isn't there? Do you know when we come to the Lord in faith? Young folks, you can come to the Lord and call upon Him. Now, Lord, I know there's power in Your name. I know the Scripture says that You have all power in heaven and in earth. And I'm coming to You. And I have a need. And I'd like You to take care of that. Now, lots of times we go about these needs in our own way, don't we? But we take them in our own hands and we land up in trouble a lot of times. I just want to encourage us today to not be ignorant of Satan's devices.
Yes,
to recognize the accuser, the tempter. Do you think it's odd that the enemy would come along and tempt you? Do you think that's odd? What does he do? That's what he does, doesn't he? He's going to come along. I want to tell you today, we have weapons that we can fight back. And we need to learn to use them today. Let's ask the Lord to help us to learn to use those weapons, to come to the Lord in prayer. And instead of focusing on my problem, Lord, take care of this thing. And we think about that thing. And we think about, instead, focus on the Lord. Lord, You have all the answers for me. I don't understand this. I don't know why. I don't know why this has come up. I don't know what. I don't know how to fix this thing. But do you know that we can come to Him in faith and trust and looking to Him? And He's the one that has, He can turn all the valves on and off. He can start it and He can stop it. And He's got options that we don't have. When world situations come up, national situations come up, did you know God has options we don't have?
Yeah.
Lots of them. When we think it has to go this way, this is the only way this can work out right. No, not so. God has all the options. And He can do things that we never even conceived in our mind could be done. And He wants us to know, I have given you these weapons and I want you to learn to use them. I want you to learn to come to me in prayer and get your mind off of your problem and onto me. And I want you to look up to me in faith. And when you do that, you will find many answers to prayers. I have found that to be so in my life. The second thing, I just had four little things here that I felt like God gave me. Another one is keep faith in God.
Yes.
Keep your faith. Don't let the enemy tear down your belief and trust in God. In Hebrews 11 and 33, it says, and it gives a whole list of all these that we know of David and Gideon and Samson and Samuel and the prophets and all those. And it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Do you know what he's talking about here? Is they believed God and they served Him in their time, in their troubles, in their life. Gideon. I was just reading through the Bible the other day. I've been reading through the Old Testament and read the story of Gideon and how God spoke to Gideon and began to use him. And here was all this massive army. And the Lord told him, you've got too many people. I want my people. I don't want them to think they did this on their own. I want to be the one that does it. Send them home. Send all of them that are afraid home. Send all of them that don't get down and drink the same. Send them home until he had 300 left. And you know, we know the rest of that. But you know, the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 6 and 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I will tell you, if we lose faith, we quit praying, we start looking at the problem, we begin to be absorbed in what the enemy is doing instead of absorbed in the Lord. And in the Lord is all help in heaven and earth, folks. The Lord is what we need to work, to give us things, to give us understanding, to give us discernment, to give us the things we need in our life. I want to go back here to Hebrews 11 and look at 34. It says that these people quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Do you know that that wasn't just for them? But I want to catch that little phrase, out of weakness were made strong. Do we remember what Paul the Apostle, what the Lord told him? He said, Paul was facing a battle. And he was like, it was the messenger of Satan, the scriptures tell us. It was something. Why is this in my life? And you know what the Lord told him? Paul, it's okay. And I'm kind of saying my own thing here. But Paul, it's okay. I want this to be in your life. You mean, I want this to be in your life, Paul. I want you to keep humble. And I'm going to let this thing be in your life. Now, he sought the Lord for it three times, it says. And the Lord finally told him, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." I hope that we can get a hold of that this afternoon. My strength, it's made perfect in your weakness. Do you know that we don't need to feel strong? We don't need to feel like we've got 100,000 to go against their 30. We just need the Lord. And he said, and so Paul went on to say, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, this afternoon, these are powerful weapons. When the enemy comes in like a flood, don't ever break and run. Just don't do it. Just don't allow it. I'm not breaking and running. I'm not gonna come to my knees before the enemy. I'm gonna believe God, and I'm gonna stand, and I'm gonna run in my prayer closet, and I'm gonna believe that God is gonna take me through. Why should we do that? Because He will. It's a powerful weapon. The enemy, as a roaring lion, goeth about, and he seeks whom he may devour. And he roars. And young folks, he paints pictures. Don't ever think that when a little something comes up, the devil's not going to be painting some dark future picture. You get a little affliction on your body, and the devil paints a big black picture, doesn't he? You know what? Just refuse to break and run. Serve the Lord. I was thinking about Abraham in James 2 and 23. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now that was Abraham. But I want to think about Abraham for a minute, because he was in the same battle we are. The Lord told Abraham, he said, "I want you to get up and I want you to leave this place and go to a place I'm going to tell you of." And what did Abraham do? He got up and left, didn't he?
Yes.
He obeyed the Lord. He believed God. And the Lord told him, he said, "I want you to go." Wasn't it Mount Moriah? He said, "I want you to sacrifice your son." He said, "I want you to take your son and sacrifice him." And what did he do? He got up early the next morning and he saddled his donkey and took off. He believed God. And the Lord told Abraham, he said, "I'm going to give you a son." And he didn't do it for a long time. And Abraham decided, "I'm going to have a son." Abraham and his wife decided, "We got another way to fix this problem." You know, this afternoon, he suffered and suffered for that. She suffered for that. The baby wasn't even born before she began to suffer for that. And we see how that all through centuries, that cost to them.
Yes.
Because Abraham did not hold to his faith in God. He felt like, "God gave me a promise. I got to make this happen." And so this afternoon, I just want to encourage us. Faith is a powerful weapon against the enemy's designs.
Yes.
Many times the enemy is like that. He comes in and offers us something in place of what God wants to do. And because that we are in a tight place or something, what do? If we're not careful, we don't hold up our shield of faith. I really believe that we'll be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy if we'll keep faith.
Yes.
And not allow ourselves to duck or to take things into our own hands. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith."
Yes.
"Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, there's a goal, folks. Do you believe in it? Do you believe in it enough in the face of everything? The Lord required some things of Abraham, and it was pretty big. When he told him to sacrifice his son, I'll tell you, that staggers my faith. That staggers my faith.
Yes.
Do you know, today, the Lord also may require a few things of us. And we just meet a lot of things in life. I just want to encourage us to use the shield of faith. And when the enemy starts launching his pictures of the future, when he starts launching his attacks upon us, when he starts launching his accusations against your experience, hold the shield of faith up. I refuse that. Just hold your ground. I believe in God. I believe it'll be just like God said it would be. And hold that. Hold that position. It's a valuable place because God comes through when we allow Him His place. Faith in God. I know we could have a whole message on every single one of these, and we're not going to. But I hope that our minds can be spurred just a little bit to think about these things and enlarge on them in our lives, and let the Lord teach us how to use these things. Many times people become dislodged by the enemy by his roaring. He goes about as a roaring lion, and that's why they become dislodged in their experience. We have to hold our ground. I want to think about another one that's both an offensive... These are all offensive and defensive weapons. But I want to think about keeping love in our heart. To me, there's a few things in God's arsenal that He has a lot of weapons in His arsenal. But I think about the hydrogen bomb or the atom bomb. When it comes to warfare, folks, there's something about keeping love in our life, in our heart, like God wants it to be. Keeping humility in our life, keeping faith. Those are like atom bombs to the enemy's work. What he wants to do, what he wants to destroy, when we hold that kind of ground, it destroys the work of the enemy. And I want to talk a little bit about it this afternoon. In Jude 1 and verse 20, I guess there's just one chapter in Jude, of course, but it says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And here Jude puts all these together. He says, you're building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I will tell you, we have got to refuse anything that causes our heart to offend. The Lord wants us to have a soft, tender heart all of our life. He never wants us to begin to become hard people. He never wants us to begin to be catty people. He never wants us to begin to be people that has hatred or any kind of malice like that. This work that's done in the heart, when we go to spiritual warfare for members of our families, for our marriage, for our congregations, I cannot tell you what a weapon this is. It dislodges the enemy. Because when we really find out what we're about, and we really only have love in our hearts Folks, it dislodges the enemy. It makes him ineffective. People, I've heard the story of those that were in communist countries, and the authorities would come in and begin to arrest those people and beat them, throw them in prison. But one thing they couldn't handle was when these people, and they found, they're praying for me. They're praying for me. They're not praying for God to strike me dead. They're praying for me. Do you know, today, I really believe in our homes, let's don't give up that heart that is tuned with love. We'll be tested on these kind of things. And I will say this, if we don't win in our home and keep love in our heart, real love, earnest, fervent love, we won't have it other places either. It has to be there. It has to start there. That has to be who we are in order for us to take this to the world. But it's an awesome thing that God has brought. I have known people that in the face of everything, in the face of severe mistreatment, they're still loving. They're still kind. They're still gentle. And it's melting. It's like, it's amazing. That's what God wants to give us. It is a weapon against the work of the enemy. He wants to come in and he wants to divide people. I will tell you who it's hard to divide. People that really love each other fervently. Do you know it takes work to do that? It takes stopping and understanding one another. Why are you saying that? Why is this happening? Why did this happen? You know, sometimes we have to communicate, don't we? Because we don't understand each other lots of times. We have whole different mindsets and we can form opinions about one another. But I will tell you, I believe if we have a heart that is full of love, the closer we get to one another, the more we're going to find that out. And the more walls will come down. And the more the Lord is going to be able to work in our midst. I just want to encourage us. This is a powerful weapon. I know we're just speaking lightly here. We're touching it with a very light brush. But maybe we can go home and think about it. Lord, how is my love? Is it burning and fervent? Or is it really where I can hardly stand them? I can hardly live with it. I can hardly stomach it every time I see that person. No, I believe the best shot we've got, folks, is to have a heart that is full of love.
Yes.
Let's don't let it be any other way. It's a powerful, powerful weapon in our arsenal. 1 Peter 1:22. We've mentioned this a little bit here already, but I want to read it. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, that's a little more than saying put up with each other, isn't it?
Amen.
It says love one another with a pure heart. Pure means unmixed. It's not mixed. Folks, this takes the grace of God. This takes prayer, time in our prayer closet before the Lord, looking to Him, not to cast the other person down, but to help me to have that overcoming love in my heart. And when we do that, it is an amazing work that begins to happen. So the Lord help us that we love one another. I believe the Lord wants us to love everybody. He just wants us to have a concerned heart for one another, for people. We all know the story about the Good Samaritan, don't we?
Yes.
I know that reaches out there, doesn't it? I really believe it's a great weapon in our world today. I know we're just a little bunch, but folks, we have something that is so powerful to the world. The only way they can know it is if we show them love. And so here was this one This is in Luke 10, starting at 29. But here was this man that fell among thieves, and they took from him, and they stripped him of his raiment, and they left him half dead. And we see that it says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And then there was a Levite that came through, and he did about the same kind of thing. And it's easy for us to do that, isn't it? It really is. But the Lord wants us, I believe, to fill our arsenal with these good things. Learn to give love. Learn to have a heart full of love. Learn to let the Lord increase us until we can sacrifice some for other people. It'll be a powerful thing in our life. And I want to talk about one more thing here this morning, and this is not least. It's the last thing here, but folks, it's huge. And I want to talk about humility, and God help me to be more humble myself. But I want to read Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and the first verse. Isaiah 66 and 1. And listen to what Isaiah, wrapping up his book here, we find him after all the revelations that he had of future things. He said, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? You got anything to offer me like that? I don't think so. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. When you look those words up and you recognize what they mean, and you see, and I'll leave that for you to do to some degree, but we want to talk about it some. But when we humble ourselves, it's the opposite of pride. And when we allow ourselves to not be self on display, we are humbling ourselves. The word contrite, when you look it up, I didn't look it up this time, but it means to crush. It means to be crushed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know, it will make a great difference in our battles. We battle for our children, don't we? I want to tell you, many times, if we're going to win there, we're going to have to get on their wavelength, aren't we? We're going to have to get past the misunderstandings and the aggravations and all those things. And many times we feel like we are right. And in our relationships, many times, we feel like we are right. Do you know what we have to do to be able to reach people? We have to many times humble ourselves in a way that we can reach them. In a way that we can, that they can accept that, because they think they're right too. And they may be very wrong, but they think they're right too. Do you know the only way for us to be able to win is for us to humble ourselves? And the Lord Himself said, I'll look to that man. And you know, when the Lord looks to something, and when He puts His favor there, and when the Lord begins to work with something, all power in heaven and earth is there. And so, as we wrestle and fight through our battles and all of those things, let's remember something. Let's along with love, along with faith, let's be the opposite of harsh, ugly, critical, those kind of things. Let's humble ourselves.
Yes,
Matthew 5 and 5, we're very familiar with this scripture, but it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I believe that's speaking of the same kind of promise that the Lord gave to His people when they came into the land of Canaan, that you will be able to inherit the land that I have given you. And so I think that's what this is speaking of here. Not talking about inheriting this globe. He's talking about inheriting the promises of God. Now we long for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives, don't we? I will tell you today, if we want the promises of God to be fulfilled, it says, blessed are the meek. That's basically the same thing as that word humble. And I did look that one up, and it says, I looked the one up that I'm fixing to read in Psalms. It says, meek, depressed in mind, gentle, or circumstances, needy, goes on, humble, lowly, meek, and poor. And we want to remember that this is the opposite of pride and lifting ourselves up. When we humble ourselves and we can be meek, that means people can come to us and talk to us. That means our children can come to us and talk to us. And I will tell you, if we fly in their faces, if we fly in the faces of those brethren that we have, I will tell you, we will find a lot of troubles on our hands. We will find instead of the promises of God being fulfilled, we will find troubles, and if we're not careful, we'll get into wars and turmoils. But I believe what the Lord is telling us here, He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit more or less the promises of God. You know, when we listen, when we are humble enough to listen to the Lord, when we are humble enough to listen to our enemy, should we listen to our enemy? Sometimes we must, because a lot of times they are seeing something in a light that we are not. If we just go in there boldly, this is the way it is, do you know, we're going to lose, aren't we? But if we can humble ourselves, I believe the Lord will give us the promises of God. Psalms 25:9 says, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. I really believe the Lord wants to teach us a lot of things. He wants these kind of weapons that we have available to us to be effective weapons. When we are meek, it does the opposite of pride. Do you know that carnality against carnality creates wars, divisions, big problems, all those kind of things? But do you know that if we learn to humble ourselves to one another, if we learn to hear from other people what they have to say without lashing out and lashing back, the Lord has a lot to teach us today. And I just want to encourage us. He said, the meek will He guide in judgment. That's because He can teach us. That's because we're teachable. That's because that He is able to give us things that He wouldn't be otherwise. We read over in James 3, it talks about the wisdom that is from above being first pure and then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. That means easy to talk to. Folks, this meekness has a lot to do with our life. I feel like I'm not presenting it in a way hardly understandable here today. But I believe that this is one of the basic and most valuable weapons that we have in the Lord. This will give us, in our home, it will give us peace. It will give us enjoyment in our home. It'll give us enjoyment in our congregations. It'll give us enjoyment with one another, with different people. It'll make us able many times to win on the job over adverse situations. By us, that doesn't mean we're jellyfish, but it means that we humble ourselves and that we are not carnal and fleshly and all like that. So today I feel, as I say, very inadequate at bringing this out. But these things, if we can put them into our life and learn to use them, I believe we can win our battles a lot better. I believe the Lord wants us to win our battles. He wants to take us to heaven one day. And we're going to have to learn how to use these weapons. When the enemy comes in and starts working in any way, do you know if we know how to just hold our faith? If we know how to run to the Lord and begin to pray,
yes,
and we learn to take our mind off of our troubles and put it on the Lord,
yeah,
and believe in Him, you know, He begins to work. And we learn not to lash back in ourself, but to humble ourselves. And we learn to say to ourselves, no, it's not all them. They can't make my heart ugly. They can't make my heart unloving. That's my problem. Lord, give me a loving heart.
Yes.
Lord, teach me how to love. These things, I know they may seem kind of simple here today, but I will tell you, I really believe this is the key many times to our victories in our congregations and in our homes and with other people. It takes this, and many times we won't do it. Many times we won't do it. Can I say that? I deal with a lot of people in a lot of different places and not just here. But I will tell you, many times somebody doesn't humble themselves. Many times somebody doesn't keep love in their heart. Somebody doesn't go to their prayer closet until the Lord begins to tell them and shine light down upon them. And instead they're using this. They're using their mind. They're using their human thoughts and all of those things. And it's going just like they think it should go. And the Lord has different thoughts. And He wants to give them to us. But we're going to have to humble ourselves first and say, Lord, teach me Your way. Show me Your paths here. Lord, put love in my heart. I'm not stopping until I have a fervent love in here. I'm not stopping praying. I'm not going to give this battle up until You fill my heart with love for that person.
Yes,
and you know, that sometimes takes some work. It takes some humbling. It takes, Lord, I have to give up my rights sometimes. To be able to have that. But I want to tell you what it does. The work of God flourishes in that kind of an environment. If we will allow it, if we will do that, if we'll live that way, the Lord will be able to flourish in our lives. And the work of the Lord will have the best opportunity that it can have. I'm going to quit here in a minute now. 2 Peter, one more place here. 2 Peter 1 and 10. Listen to the promise of the Lord. I love this scripture. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things,
you shall never fall.
Wow, what a promise. You mean I have a promise from the Lord that I don't ever have to fall? It's a promise, isn't it? It's the Word of God. It's immutable. It's not something that can change. It's there. And so He says, if you'll do these things, you'll never fall. And so we go back and look here at verse 4. What's He talking about? He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you know the enemy is going to come along and try to corrupt you through the lust of the world in some way or another? Whether it's money or whether it's lust in the flesh or whether it's things or whether it's fame or fortune or whatever it is, or whether it's just our little stubborn kingdom that we want.
Yes.
Do you know the enemy's going to come? But he says to us here that there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Yes.
That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Now I know we could go in on every one of these. We're not going to. But add that virtue, that manliness. Add it to our life. Add to knowledge temperance. Learn to temper our life. We can die early if we don't. You know that? We can die early if we don't. We don't have any temperance. We can get into all kinds of troubles. All kind. And the Lord wants us to govern ourselves. He wants us to govern our passions. People kill people because they never learn to govern themselves. And so they're out of control. The Lord wants us to have ourselves in control. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. All these things come out of a heart, don't they? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. The Lord help us each one today that we won't lack these things. I really believe what happens is we live in the flesh if we're not careful. We use our own mind. We decide what's right and wrong instead of drawing up close to the Lord and shutting the door and praying to the Father. Not thinking everything through. Not always trying to, I think I'm pretty smart. I can get all this figured out. I can understand everything. We can't understand everything. We just can't. But if we will allow the Lord, He'll fill our lives up with good things. These areas, folks, these are dynamic areas that can be in our life. God help us to use these weapons, to learn to use them, and to use them well. I would like to feel like I could pray to the Lord and He would hear my prayer like Elijah did. He prayed in his time. I will tell you, a while back, we have a noon prayer service. And I will tell you, I have seen many answers to prayer come from that time, where a number gather every week and earnestly entreat the Lord for everyone, for our government. I remember a while back praying earnestly, meeting together. Actually, we had it on a different day that time. But when I left, the Lord witnessed to me. I knew He witnessed to me. I heard your prayers today. And you know, I saw a major thing happen. And I believe that it was not only through our prayers, but others as well. And you know, the Lord wants to answer. He wants us to win lots of things if we're not too caught up in our own self, in our own pride, in our own thoughts, in our own ways, in our own battling of the enemy. The Lord has, He can win. He wants to teach us how. Pray for me.